My name's Michelle Owu. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. The object of the research is to compile a portrait of contemporary Britain. The date is the 23rd of July 2009, and the time is now 4:20 a.m. Can you tell me, please, your name and where you come from?
Dawn Rose. That's my stage name. My full name is Dawn Rose Girling. I come from Shotley, which is a village outside Ipswich in Suffolk.
More about that, the village.
It's split into three parts. We live up near the church, which is quite a small hamlet. The village in Composite is based on a peninsula which is bordered by two rivers which meet where we are. So we have a wonderful view of Felixstowe Docks, Harwich Docks, and the open sea. And when the east wind blows, don't we know it?
How did you hear about this project?
I have a feeling that it was something that was mentioned on the radio in its early stages. But I honestly can't remember. I've had so many people ask me, I've forgotten. But I'd obviously made a note of it and thought, follow it up, because I went searching for information. And I know I sent an email off and said, how do I get into this? And I got this email back that said, not yet, we're not ready. And that's how it all... So I got in really early, because I was very keen.
Why were you so keen to take part? And what particularly inspired you to take part?
I do truly like Gormley's work. Was it Event Horizon that was here last year or the year before? Fabulous. And I didn't really know much about him until I went up to the north and saw The Angel. And then, of course, seeing like the Quantum series and all sorts of stuff like that, I thought, well, this is my sort of artist. And he's a nice bloke as well. Or he comes across a nice bloke.
Can you describe what you're wearing for me?
I am wearing tight black pants because I need a tight waistband. I'm wearing my regular shoes that I wear every day. I've got a t-shirt that I've turned into a skirt with a logo on it for the Wildlife Trusts of the British Isles, and my red t-shirt on top is Suffolk Wildlife Trust t-shirt with their own logo, and I've got stickers with bees on all over me, including on my forehead.
Can you tell me what the significance of the bees is?
For the last 5 years I've been learning to keep bees. I found out that somebody I live quite close to and hadn't known before had been keeping bees for nigh on 60 years. So I went into his shop one day and said, hello, I'm me. Are you so-and-so? Can I follow you around one day? And he went, of course you can. We are now pretty good buddies, actually. It's a love-hate relationship sometimes, and I think he just likes taking me out to see how many times it can get me stung, because he has up to 200 hives. So I've got a lot of experience going out with him to do that. And I love it. I could be, I might well come out of it on the mic that I could stand on that plinth for an hour and tell the world about bees. I'm not that bothered about honey. I just love bees. It's astonishing. So I don't know, something when I was little, I thought they were great. Thought, oh, how cool could that be to look after bees? And then I get to the age I am and then end up doing it. It's great. I really enjoy it.
What was it actually prompted you to go and learn about beekeeping, if you'd had this interest for such a long time?
Well, there is a link here, because the reason I've got these t-shirts on is that I've decided to go on the plinth as me, completely me, so I'm showing facets of my life when I land, so I'm not going to be anything else but me. It's not everything about me, but I was on duty, if you like, at one of the county shows for the Suffolk Wildlife Trust, and our tent happened to be across from the bee tent. And I got pretty damn bored because I was an official. So I decided to have a lunch break and wandered into the tent and had a look around. And some very interesting people keep bees. And I asked the question then, if I was interested, what should I do? And they said, where do you come from? And they said, oh, well, so-and-so lives very close to you. Why don't you go and speak to him? So there you got the full loop.
Would you have had any idea that you had people living so close to you that were interested in beekeeping?
No, because my normal daily routine took me out of the I live on the end of the village, nearer to the get out road, if you like. So I tend to gravitate towards a village which is the other side of us, because the rest of the village is a dead end. So I didn't often have to go down that way. So no, I hadn't twigged at all, and I hadn't seen the sort of signs of the bees.
Do many people know that you look after bees and that you're interested in beekeeping?
Bore them to tears about it all the time. But the interesting thing is that everybody shuts up and listens, and I'm always saying, would you just tell me to shut up, because I feel like I'm holding court. They say, no, didn't know all this, want to know more. So lots of titters when I say, well, it's great because they kick the men out in the winter and kill them. So,
You said that you're going to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What might that involve? What will you actually do while you're in the plinth, do you think?
I'm pretty sure of what I'm going to do. I'm going to make the plinth look beautiful for a start, because it will have a material draped across the whole thing. I'll introduce myself. I'll talk about myself. I'm not going to be self-indulgent. I will introduce myself to whoever's listening. And I will be using particular motifs. It's all based around my name. Having a 5 o'clock slot when dawn actually rises during that hour, and my name is Dawn Rose by christening name. You know, my christened name is Dawn Rose. So what could I do but use that as my, like, theme, if you like, to celebrate my name and the dawn. And of course, Rose. What option did I have then to bring roses? So then it was, what do I do with the roses? So I've brought along 3 friends to celebrate about and with, because they're all dead and they've died in the last 3 years. So it's a little bit of a tribute. And it's all about transformation. The thing's about transformation, because at the end I will turn myself into a living statue. So I won't look anything like I look now. And if it's raining, I dread to think what I will look like. But slightly goldy, drippy, probably.
How did you feel when you found out that you had a place on the plinth?
I have a mother who I think is born lucky. My son is the same. I don't feel I am. And I thought, wow, for once, I've got something I really wanted. So I'm really excited, and that hasn't abated. I'm so chuffed.
Have you had any experience of performing before?
Yes.
Would you like to tell me a bit more about that?
I went back to school after a career and decided to study the dramatic arts. I was introduced to a performance artist, or he introduced us as a class, me included, to performance art, which I'd never heard of before. I'm going back 10 or 11 years now. And then, of course, we had to do a project, and I'm thinking, what the hell is this about? I don't know what I'm doing here at all. And then created something which shocked me, because it was so visually stunning, and I did it outdoors using the natural environment, and I didn't look back from there, actually. I still didn't understand it, and it took me a while to get into what it was and what the difference was between that and theatre. And so over the last 10 years I've drifted more away from theatre towards performance art, or very collaborative working in theatre, although I don't get to do it very often. So most recently I was at the Colchester Arts Centre and I did a piece on transformation there, and that was to do with one of these ladies I brought with me today. That was the inspiration for the piece, and so I'm going to carry on with it on the plinth in a very different way.
How do you feel when you're performing?
Once I'm in it, I'm fine. It's that moment of sheer terror sometimes when you're so stewed up. I don't quite feel that now. You've made me feel quite relaxed, actually. Thinking, I can't remember what I was going to do. I've forgotten. And you just have to think. I just think myself into my brain now, and just so calm. And just do it.
You mentioned collaboration just then. Can you tell me a bit more about the type of collaborations you're interested in?
Oh, well, I've discovered I'm not clever to come up with all the ideas myself, and it's so much better when you've got another brain at least, because it multiplies what you can get out of it when you're bouncing ideas off one another. It can get quite heated. I really do not feel comfortable in mainstream theatre anymore in England. It just is so hideously boring, and very rarely do I get to see what I would call straight theatre, which gives me, I hate the word challenge, but gives me that real gut punch that says, God, this has made me think, or made me feel. And that's what I'm after, usually. And some people have said, you can't do that. And I said, and I've done things in performance that you can't do that. I said, why not? Because it's too hard for the audience. I said, well, that's their problem. I want to push them. That's where I want them to be. I want them to feel something. And it's probably not what you think they're going to feel. And it invariably proves to be the case. But of course, it's a very rarefied area, performance arts. You tend to have a very small audience for it anyway.
What was it that prompted you to go back to study?
My career doing a nosedive. And wanting to get more out of life, thinking I've spent my, you know, so many years just hours all over the place, just making it from one weekend to the next and so forth. And you suddenly realise how much time has passed. And I was getting more and more unhappy. And I remember who it was that said it to me, and I was sobbing to them actually. And they said, well, if you don't like it, get out. And I thought, I can't do that. Why not? There's a whole life out there, there's a whole world. And I thought, I can't believe what I've done. I'm in such a deep rut. And it took a huge amount of prompting to get me to get out and then to apply for courses. And it's the best thing I did. It's opened so many doors in myself, apart from generally. And so I am involved in all sorts of things now, which is great.
What were you doing before?
I was a health service professional. I escaped.
Had you thought about leaving?
This sounds awfully dramatic, but I can remember times driving into work hoping I'd have a crash. And that's how deep the rut was. I hadn't got the wherewithal to leave because I was so involved in that rut. It was just there, I was stuck, fast. Can't think of a better metaphor at the moment, but once out, I think, oh my God, we're so adaptable, what was that all about? And so I would have, you know, if I'd had more children, I'd have ended up fat and 60 and boring. I don't think I am anymore.
Anybody along with you?
Just my husband.
What's his reaction to the way you've chosen to develop your life, to change your life?
Well, without his support, I couldn't have done it anyway. I was limited as to where I could go to uni because of I've got one son, and I wasn't prepared to jeopardise him in terms of both parents being missing, because my other half, Richard, was often working away then. So yes, I had his support. I worked jolly hard because I was also working independently when I left working at the hospital for a while. And now he's so proud, and I'm just astonished because I was just... It took a while for him, I think, to warm to it. But when he sees some of the stuff I create, he's just like, you know, picking his jaw up and saying, that was just amazing. So that gives me quite a nice feeling, actually, like a bit of playback.
What impact do you think you being on the plinth might have?
Who to? Anybody? Well, I'm going to say hello to some friends who are abroad. So they're going to have an impact on them. I don't think they'll quite believe that they'll be watching me on a plinth in Trafalgar Square on live web. I'm going to give the wildlife a plug. Maybe they'll get some more members. Also, I've got a hi-vi here, which I'm not wearing, which is the community first responder scheme, which is linked to the ambulance service, so I'll give them a little plug. Again, it's a voluntary role. And I hope people... I want people to email in and say what they thought of what they saw on the webcam. And I hope they find it as beautiful. For once, I'm not going to be too confrontational. It's going to be a gentle, beautiful piece, I hope, that's a little bit dry. Because when I saw some of the rain last week, I was thinking, oh dear.
How would you describe your work?
My performance work.
You mentioned confrontation.
It can often be confrontational or difficult. I tackle difficult things. I tend to have a theme. It's death at the moment. It's been domestic violence, which caused certain relatives of mine some anxiety because they said, well, you've never been through that. And I said, I know. I don't need to be through it to understand the issues involved and to try and portray those. But I'm hoping, as I perform more and more, I want to become less and less... I don't want the word obvious, but I get arguments all the time from my collaborator who constantly says, you have to think of your audience. I said, I do, but I don't see why they have to be the prime mover sometimes, because they might be wanting to be there to be made uncomfortable. And if I make people uncomfortable, I think it's worked. You know, it's made them go away and think about something.
How have you known your collaborator?
We met at university when I was doing my master's. And I don't quite know why. We've stuck together. We had a little period away. And I think what we tend to do is that I bring out the emotion in his work and he brings out the art in mine. And now he's helped me mature very much in what I do. So it's been quite interesting.
Where does he live?
Australia.
How does the collaboration work across that greater distance?
Amazingly well. It's surprising. I suppose, too, when you're not face-to-face, you tend to say what you damn well feel, particularly when you haven't got the webcam on. It's just like being in a telephone conference, I think. You tend to be more blunt than you would be otherwise. And he sends me videos and we talk through stuff, and I've got one waiting when I go home. Have at this, Dawn, will you tell me I'm just about to do this? And that's going to be quite an interesting piece of work from how he's described it to me. But we can't afford to hop across and see each other. So I was thinking this yesterday, well, wonders of modern science, really, when you can do that at such a distance. I think it's a damn shame the Arts Council didn't give me and my ex-tutor and another artist money to have a live art platform in Ipswich for performance art video. We had 20 artists lined up, 11, 12 from all over Europe, Israel. It was all there, and they turned us down. So really sad about it. We'd already run one on a shoestring. We want to do a really big one. That's me having a moan.
Will you apply for funding again?
Not for that, we won't. You get to a certain point, think, hold your hands up, we've tried twice. We can't get anywhere. Totally different packaging, if you like.
Why do you think that is, that they seem reluctant?
Lack of funds. And we're not in a very sort of popular area, and there are other more popular things going on there which is pulling money in, so it's one of those things. I shouldn't have said any of that, really.
Would you like anyone from the Arts Council to see your performance this morning?
Would it be nice to think they would, because my experience is that quite often they're far too busy to come and see people, and I always find that hugely disappointing.
Have you told them that?
No, I didn't give it a thought. And yet I know it's Art Council funded. See, it's just worrying too much about what I'm going to be doing. It's taken over.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.